Let's go to the Word of God that He has prepared for us this morning. And we're going to be talking about the difference in being physically there, but mentally and emotionally absent. We're going to be talking about being present in this world. And we as a church need to be present. And I came across this little GIF, if you will. Some people in church, and I'm not making any accusations, but some people in church can respond as emotionally as this particular young lady when it's time to do roll call at school. Doesn't even bother to look up, doesn't bother to have any eye contact. It doesn't matter when her name's called. Yeah, I'm here, but I'm really absent in mind is what it conveys to me. And, you know, I don't know if you've ever felt like something was just simply missing, and you struggle to put words to it. For example, you go out to a restaurant and you get what you're expecting to be a good meal, and you say, well, it's not necessarily bad, it just lacks a little bit of flavor. Or you go and you just notice that something is off a little bit. There's also times when things are obvious to you. Now, this last week, we had the beginnings of rainstorms, and we pray for a whole bunch more. The farmers need it. The lake needs to be filled up. If nothing, just for us immediately, we need it. But around our nation, we need a great deal of rain to fall. But when the rains began to fall, I don't know if it affected you, but it's as though the slightest little drip of rain will cause the CFE, the electric company, to turn the power off to my house. I don't know if it happens to you, but it happened to me. And I look out and I say, it's not even that windy, and it's only dropped 3 drops. What happened here? And when the power goes off, I'll tell you, I notice it immediately. But when the power just dips down, how many have ever known the phrase brownout? That is actually a real frustration. That it's supposed to all be working. And you say, why is the fan going slower? And it may not be that noticeable at first that the power is just a little bit low. And we're going to be talking a little bit about the difference between just lacking a little bit of flavor and actually lacking salt, or we're lacking the full energy, the full light of the gospel, or whenever we're suffering a brownout. And so go with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 5. We were there this week during our Bible reading. Neto, las últimas ventiladoras quieren que prendan. I'm noticing that some people, when I mentioned the fan was going slow, noticed your fan wasn't blowing above you. And that's because the back bank wasn't on yet. I just asked them to turn it on. All right. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? Now, notice how Jesus starts off here. He doesn't say, I want to make you the salt of the earth. He doesn't say, I hope one day you'll make it to be the salt of the earth. He says, you are. You're already there. He goes on. He says, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp to put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. And so we're going to look at these two elements that Jesus highlights here, salt and light, and say a few things about these two things. First of all, salt. Did you know that salt is actually required in your body so that you could have chemical processes and your neurons will be able to continue to fire? The one that's shaking their head the most vehemently right now is Carol, because she went through this last year problems with a lack of salt in your system. Isn't that true? And it affects everything. Now, I want to be also very aware that our salt level that we actually need is way less than you may like. But that's neither here nor there. Salt, then, is a requirement for us to maintain our sodium level, is a requirement for us to maintain an equilibrium, an ability with our chemicals to be able to have the right types of thought processes. They can all of a sudden affect the way that we feel and so forth. And it can all be traced back when we lack salt. Well, we'll talk a little bit more about that in just a moment. But there's also the other thing that Jesus mentions is light. You know, some of the characteristics I was thinking about light this last week. And light, when you go into a low light situation, you end up losing your ability to distinguish colors. For example, in a case of an automobile coming in and shooting something or robbing this bank at night, and the police will come in and they'll say, okay, did you get a look at the escape car? And they'll say, yes. And so what was it? What kind of car was it? Well, I'm not good at car shapes, and I don't know what color was it? I don't know. It was dark. Because when it's dark, you can't see the colors that are associated. And so the vibrancy of light in or vibrancy of life in low light situations begins to be diminished. Also, our ability to distinguish distances is greatly affected in the dark. How many suffer driving at night? Because of the distances being, they're able to fool you. Because the headlights, you think all of a sudden are closer. In a low light situation, we end up losing our ability at times to distinguish as accurately distances in front of us. Another thing that you can mention, and people who live in Alaska noticed during the winter times when there's a lack of sunlight and it doesn't even come up for a prolonged period of time, and they go days without sunlight, it ends up affecting them emotionally. If we don't have enough sunlight every day, our bodies can't produce the vitamin D that is needed. The sunlight actually will cause people, or the lack of sunlight will cause people to go into depression. Sometimes psychologists will simply tell the person, go out and walk around in the sun for a while, because we need to be out in the daylight, because the light affects how we feel in a general sense as well. Well, all of these things are good and well to understand, but when salt and light are missing for a long period of time, you know, we can develop capacities to just deal with it, and we don't even begin to notice their lack. We can begin to just get used to the low salt diet. I'll talk a little bit more about that in just a moment. As you can imagine, I know what that is all about after my heart attack. But what we do is we create mechanisms to deal with the low light. For example, they came into a situation where they weren't having the sunlight, and so they created these light bulbs that would try to replace what the natural light could do so that people wouldn't fall into depression, that they wouldn't end up having the same side effects of having the low light kind of a situation. Salt and light can actually become something that eventually one doesn't want. I'll give you an example of that. There is a group of people known as the mole people. How many have heard this term? Because it's been around for years. The mole people. It came out of a reporter actually originally doing interviews and study of this population that was living underground in the state of New York, specifically in the city of New York, in the tunnels and the abandoned train stations and subway systems and culverts and power stuff underneath the city. And for the most part, these individuals had some problems. First of all, they were often involved in drugs. They were involved in illegal activity. They were wanting to hide. Sometimes they were the people that were the outcasts of the society with mental disorders and so forth. And so these people chose to live underground where there was no light. When people would go down, even with flashlights, you'd see them try to block the light because they had gotten accustomed and now they didn't want to be seen in the light. There's also recently been a report about this same terminology of mole people being used of groups of individuals in the same type of situation underground in the city of Las Vegas. It's been in the news recently. And so these people have grown accustomed to living without the light. And the reason for that is because the light will show something that they don't want to see. They don't want to be seen, we could say. They don't want to be seen because the police are looking for them. They don't want to be seen because they have this emotional disorder. They don't want to be seen because of a number of different reasons. But they're avoiding the light. And, I said I was going to go back to it. The no-salt diet, after a person has a heart attack, and I can speak from experience on this. After my heart attack, went on to a very strict diet. And some of you know what I mean when I say a strict diet, because we've had conversations. And in that diet, I don't add salt. I don't have oils, I don't have sugars, I don't have animal products, I don't have milk, I don't have nuts. The list, we can make it go on. And some people will say, so what you don't have is flavor. And you know what? Actually, what you end up with is a situation where you develop a taste for the flavors of the food without the salt, to where when later on, my wife tells me, well, you can start adding some salt back into your diet. And there's things that, I don't want that. It doesn't taste right anymore to me. And so salt and light, both are similar to these, that people can develop an ability or a desire to avoid certain things. Now, don't be worried about me. I do the blood work frequently to know my sodium levels. I'm not in danger because I'm not eating salt. Don't panic. But I don't need to add the salt on top of it because I don't have that taste for the salt anymore. And my body doesn't need that salt at this time. So Jesus is concerned, obviously, that there could be a time when this happens to all of mankind, in which all of the world has gotten to a place where they would desire to live in the dark rather than in the light, where they would desire to have a life that has no salt and flavor of salt in it, instead of having the salt be amongst them. And so Jesus calls attention to the church, because when the church does not fulfill her call to be salt and light, the world learns to live without us. They don't go around saying, oh no, something is missing. The world isn't going to come up to us typically and say, oh please be light again. Because they end up enjoying the darkness. And that's why Jesus doesn't say, you know what, maybe you could be the salt. Maybe you could be the light. Jesus actually comes along and he says, you are the salt. You are the light. Now, I don't think it's by coincidence that we talk about salt in the natural sense, and there becomes a chemical imbalance in the person's body who's in a low salt situation. And now we have a world that's in a low salt situation and all the chemical imbalances that are out there. I mean, think about all of the chemical imbalances that are now being labeled and all of these different disorders around the world that now are manifesting themselves. Why? I have to give the answer is because the world as a whole is living in a low salt environment. And it's not the world's fault, my friends. The fault where it lays squarely upon us, the church, as the church has decided to be diluted down, as the church has decided that the world is dark out there, so let's be light in here and give ourselves this distinction only within the walls of the church building where the world will never come in and see. So Jesus warns about losing our distinction in the world. He says, if the salt loses its saltiness, it's not good for anything anymore. The light that we are to be if it doesn't fulfill its purposes, we can never fulfill the reason for our existence. Now, one of the things that Jesus mentions, he says, in a house, nobody lights a lamp to put it under a bowl. That's the English translation anyway. And he said, no, you put it on a stand so they get light to everyone. Now, let me give you the cultural context of that statement, because many have read that and they didn't know what Jesus was talking about. I'll give you the cultural context of that statement. The deal is this, that in the culture in Jesus' day, the homes were one-room buildings, if you will. And in this corner, you might have the place where they would prepare the food, and in this corner is the place where the children slept, and so forth. And so, be open and honest here. In the nights when the parents wanted private time, the lamp would be taken off of the stand and put some piece of pottery over the top of it to make it dark inside. It was with a purpose, to have privacy. All right? So when Jesus is talking about this, he says to the church, nobody is telling you, be private. It's time to hide in the corners. So often as Christians, we see people who say, yes, I do that. And I even raise my hands. I get excited about Jesus. But that's in church only, and out in the world. You know, I have to be normal. I don't want them to think I'm crazy. But Jesus comes along, and he gives us a command, if you will. Jesus says, shine. He says, don't be that city on a hill that's hidden. Don't be that lamp that's put underneath the bowl. Go and shine so that the world can see you. He says, don't be embarrassed. Move around. Show everyone who you are. Why? Because the choice that we make of whether to shine or not is ours, but it will be a matter of life and death for us, as well as a matter of life and death to the world who are watching. Or not watching. Because in the darkness, they'll never see the Jesus in you. But in the light, they'll see a difference. And Jesus is talking about this. And actually, the darker the situation, the more obvious it is when light is present. You go into a dark situation, and you know what? We are living, if you are unaware, I'm sorry to be the one to break this to you. We are living in a very dark world right now. And the darker the world is that we are living in, the more reason to shine brightly. Because the light will have a greater influence, will be seen from a greater distance. The sailor out on the sea who is looking and scanning the horizon for any marks of life, even just the littlest candle lit in the house could be able to indicate where shore is. But what do? They put in the rocky banks of some of the most prime shipwreck locations, these big lighthouses, because they don't want just a little candle to be burning. They want it to be obvious. They want the sailor to be able to see immediately, and that's what the church is called. To be a lighthouse for the world, that we will show who Jesus is very clearly. And so Paul talks a little bit about this in Romans chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2. He says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about our everyday life, that the way we live are in sacrifice to him. And he says, this is your true and proper worship. Who are we trying to please, the world or God? And then he goes on and he says in verse 2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Shining is what Paul says will happen naturally. Why? Because we are going to be different. So look at the person next to you and tell them, you are different. Doesn't that sound like a real compliment? You know what? You are not called to be normal in the world scheme. You are called to be as abnormal as they come. That's who we are. We are to be different. And the world is going to see us and they are going to notice. And you know what? We're not going to hide it under a bowl. because we are the light and they need the light. If they have lived in the darkness for so long, they've lived a colorless life. It's time to bring color to the world. And I, you know, some of you love color. And some of you, you know, you're more of the black and white kind of people. But we all are to be the colors for God to shine in this world. We talk differently. We live differently. And that is because we think differently. How many think differently than other people? I know I do. People look at me all the time. They scratch their head and they say, I don't know where you're coming from. You know, I have no desire to figure them out or them to figure me out. I just want to live and be a person who is on fire for Jesus. Because we have been with Jesus, we can be different. We can be different. You know what? Jesus says, you are the light of the world. Jesus said that. It wasn't just that Jesus is the light of the world. Something happens to us. The church has to be transformed and be renewed. For, you know, there are hundreds, thousands, we say millions of churches around the world. And you would think with that many churches, there would be so much light, the world could never ignore us. But the reality is that most churches, and I'm not being critical here, most churches are living under the bowl. Most are trying to hide their candle. Most are the ones that don't want to be conspicuous. The majority want to fit in. You know what? Jesus came in a day and age much like ours. It was a very dark world. When Jesus came, there was a 400-year period of time of darkness. From the last prophet of the Old Testament, Malachi, to the time when John the Baptist began to do his preaching, there was 400 years. Imagine going 400 years without hearing from God. Imagine what the world was thinking and doing and how the darkness had filled. And Jesus comes on the scene with a guy that, think about this guy that was hiding under a bowl. He's out in the wilderness eating locust and wild honey, and he's dressed with camel's hair clothing, and he's screaming at people. And what had happened? Everybody went out to see him. And he said, don't come looking at me. I'm just here pointing the way to the one who's coming after me. I'm not even worthy to untie your sandals. And when Jesus came in, you know what happens? The light begins to shine, and the world had to stand up and take notice. That's what happens. Because Jesus was the light, he changed the world, and he can change us as well. You know what? The world didn't like seeing the light. They would prefer to be in the darkness. And that's why they tried to snuff out the light. They murdered. They crucified the Lord of glory. But by that time, it was too late for them, because Jesus had already lit up a number of other individuals. In John chapter 8, verse 21, he says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. And then look what he says. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. They will end up becoming a lighthouse. And then it was impossible. The faster the Roman government tried to murder off the Christians, the faster people came to know Jesus, because they would put them in the city squares and the light would shine so brightly that the people that were there to witness the murder, the execution of these Christians, would end up walking out a Christian. Because light was shining. So what happened? Gradually, Satan learned the technique. So killing them off is counterproductive. What we have to do is we have to decide to tell them, be embarrassed a little bit. What you're doing right now is not appropriate for the eyes of everybody. Put the bowl on. Calm the light down. And then you can have all of the goodness of life that you want. But you know what? we have to understand that Jesus wants us to get a lot of attention. He wants us to be seen. The only way to become salty or radiant with the glory of God is to be in His presence. He said, if the salt loses its saltiness, it's not good for anything. It's thrown out. If the light is put under bolt, so what is He saying? Is it say that if we're not salty anymore, there's no hope for us? No, because He gave the next illustration, the lamp that's put under a bowl. So what is the option? The option can be as simple as removing the bowl and placing the lamp up on the pedestal so that it would give light to everyone in the house once again. That's how easy the response can be. But we have to decide. Do we want to spend time with Jesus? Remember, Jesus says He's the light of the world, and those who follow Him, those who spend time in His presence, are going to end up becoming the light around them again. And people are going to come to know Jesus because they're going to see you. They're going to know you. This is what Jesus is promising. Now, this last week, we've also been reading in the book of Exodus, and I love the book of Exodus. And there's this story, and I wish I could take the time to read its entirety for you. But just taking this few verses here in Exodus chapter 34, it says in verse 28 and following, Moses was there, and notice what it says, with the Lord. With the Lord. 40 days and 40 nights without eating bread or drinking water. And he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. Now, there's a lot of people that they read this verse, and their first instinct is to think, poor guy, he didn't eat or drink for 40 days. Think about our inability to comprehend what's going on here. That when we hear something like this happening, Moses is in God's presence. And all we can think of is whether we're going to get the food or not. Now, I know it happens in other churches. Around the time the pastor starts to wind down the sermon, the people are thinking, is he almost done because we want to go to lunch? Well, it happens. Still to this day. And so here is Moses. But notice, he does not say, and he suffered greatly. He lost so much weight. None of the things that we think are important. Because the thing that was important was he was in God's presence. That's what was important. It says, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the covenant law in his hands, you know, you say, oh, he was hungry, so he ate. Now, let's read on. He was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. He came out of the presence of God, and the effect wasn't, I'm skinny. The effect was, I'm shining. What a huge difference from what we normally associate, right? And he says he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, his face was radiant, and they were afraid to come near him. Doesn't that sound like what happens in the world? If we come out and we have the Shekinah glory of God on us, they're going to go, whoa, man, it's a ghost. And they're going to lose their mind. So we put a bowl on it to kind of calm it down. In church, we can get all excited, but then we go out and we're going to act like everybody else. But Moses comes down and he doesn't act like everybody else. Why? Because you can't hide that kind of thing. And so what happens? It says, but Moses called to them, so Aaron and all the leaders of the community came back to him. And he spoke to them. In other words, he gave them the indications of God. These were the same people who had told Moses, you go up, you deal with it because it's too scary to be in God's presence. And now Moses comes down and he says, you're going to have to stand here in my presence. You're going to have to be exposed to now the Shekinah glory of God. And I'm going to tell you about it. And then afterwards, he says, afterward, all the Israelites came near him. So it wasn't just a few select leaders, but he was shining in the community amongst all of them. Afterwards, all the Israelites came near him, and he gave them all the commands the Lord had given him on Mount Sinai. They were willing to listen, and in part, according to the context we have here, is because they knew Moses had come out of the presence of God by the proof of what was shining on him. And so, doesn't that follow suit with what we were talking about with being salt and light? Aren't we also being called by God to go into his presence and be so saturated with his glory that when we go out, we cannot keep it a secret? The world sees the Shekinah glory of God upon us. This is what has to happen. Unfortunately, many, many churches, Christians, people around the world, they say there's a time for shining and there's a time to put the bowl. And we've become embarrassed about our passion and our intimate relationship with Jesus. My friends, that cannot be. And that's why Jesus says, shine. Shine in such a way that the people are going to see it. Shine in such a way that my Father is glorified. And Moses came down and he was shining. And Jesus came and he was shining. And that shining Jesus influenced his generation and continues to change and transform us. And if we are willing to take the bowl off, he's willing to use us to shine in a world who have grown accustomed to a low-light situation. They've only seen things in black and white, and they think that distances are skewed. Oh, where's this coming? It's afar off. We can wait when it's actually right around the corner. Because Jesus is coming soon, and we need to be his people who are shining for him and shining our light in the very darkest of situations. And we may find ourselves amongst a community of mole people that would live and choose to live underground because they want to be in the darkness. And you know, that's kind of what happened. Moses came down and he went into a community that wanted to live in darkness. They ran away. But he says, no. Come to me. And Jesus came to a community that wanted to run away. And he says, no, come to me. All of you who are tired and weary and heavy loaded, and I'll give you rest. We can find that in Jesus. Bow your heads with me if you will. Lord, we, your people, cannot choose to live under a bowl. We cannot choose to lose our flavor. The world has to know that you are alive. And the only way to know that is by us shining. Lord, we're not able to shine on our own. Aaron couldn't stand up and say, I'll shine too. Because it was a natural byproduct of having been with the Lord. So Lord, your church, we, your body, we want to be with you. We want to know you more. We want to be able to understand what your will is, your good, pleasing, and perfect will. We want to be transformed, changed. Let the very structure of our DNA be altered that we might bring you the glory as we shine in this very dark world. So Lord, we thank you for the opportunity. You have given us the opportunity to live in a generation that is way dark. You came, Jesus, 400 years after the last word. And here we are 2,000 years. and the world around us is darker than it has ever been. But you have a church. Your answer is still the same. And we, your church, rise up. And we say, we will shine for you. Let us do that with all of our hearts. Every single day, spend time in your presence. As Moses went out daily into that new tabernacle, and the people would stand around and be in awe as your glory once again filled that place. Lord, we with unveiled faces choose to walk around, and we're going to shine for you. If you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, I want to shine for Jesus. He tells me to shine, and so I want to shine. Slip up your hand right now and say, I want to shine for you, Jesus. I want to shine. Lord, you hear our cry. We want to walk in your presence. We want your glory to be on display in our lives every single day. And we're going to give you the glory. And only you get the glory, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.